Praise the Lord. Our Father and our God, we come before you by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this opportunity to be gathered. We ask, O Lord, as you have already been done to strongly do, that you continue to admonish us, you continue to encourage us, that all that you have provided for us in yourself, we would understand and make good use of it to live a victorious Christian life. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I don't think I have too much to say, so it wouldn't be long, except the Lord would, in his mercy, add more things in the course of speaking. But I find very, very, very curious and interesting the way the meeting has gone already. As I was coming, when I realized the opportunity to admonish the house, I was thinking, and so what came to my mind is some things that the Lord was putting in my heart. I wouldn't say I was studying it, but I was just two key instances. I was at work. You know, different things are just running through your mind through the course of the day. Some appropriate, some not appropriate, up, down. It was in the midst of a hazy time. My mind was a bit hazy. But then this passage just crossed my mind where it says, mortality is swallowed up by life. And it's just like, Selah, just take and ponder. It just dropped in my heart and I wasn't looking for it. As I say, I can't say I'm studying. This is what the Lord put in my heart. And it just crossed my mind. Mortality swallowed up my life. And it just kept. But then it came in this way. Like, it was not something like an expectation in the future. It came as a reality I should use now for myself. And so it came in the angle of, how do you put it? It's not even mortality. It was a modified way. It says death is swallowed up by life. That was how it came in my mind. So I was conscious, okay, that it says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And some people may have heard me say this already. So it only gave me a new understanding or appreciation of how to apply the blood. I believe it's something curious to keep in mind that when Revelation 12 is mentioning, I'm not going there, I'm just playing with my Bible. When Revelation 12 is talking about the story of how people, it says, and they overcame him. It's very interesting to find that the first thing it mentions is the blood of the Lamb. And my mind has been drawing to, I don't know, just, how do I explain it? Many times we have the tendency to think in the context of attaining, which, subtle or not subtle, conscious or unconscious, ascribes a non-trivial portion of the victory to our effort. Because if you attain, in as much as you say by the grace of God, there's a significant portion of that attaining that can be ascribed to your conscious decision. But it would humble you and recharacterize your perception of these overcomers when you see that the first element of their victory is the blood of the Lamb. So the Lord will continue to unveil. I remember Uncle Hope preaching one time. He said that the Lord spoke to him that believers have never said that to use up to 25% of the provisions available in the blood. And if you consider that the life of the flesh is in the blood, there are different ways you can use the blood. I've been used to using it in the context of sacrifice, where you say, okay, by this sacrifice that is greater than all sacrifices, I can take it like this key that can open any door on this infinite hammer that can destroy anything. And I say, okay, doesn't matter your license, doesn't matter your claim. Some passages will say, even the lawful captive shall be delivered. So it doesn't matter the claim, the right, because in the spiritual realm, there has to be a right. Even in Revelation 12, he says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought and the dragon fought, and the devil was cast down and his angels. He says, and their place was not found anymore. Just I'll be as chill as possible. Yeah, I want to confirm it. Some of us have this concordance stuff on our Bible, so we can check it out. When it says, and their place was not found anymore in heaven, the word place actually speaks of license. Their provision, their portion, their opportunity, their basis to operate in the heavens, this is found no more. And these are things that you are able to deal with. Even in context of spiritual warfare, you're able to deal with by appreciating, you know, the blood of Jesus in the context of this sacrifice that can cancel. It doesn't matter the claim the enemy can bring against you. That's why in and all these nuggets of truth, the more there are multiple things. In one instance, you say we should be like the ant and go to the ant. And what do you do with as an ant? He says you in summer you gather. In a sense, we can say that of ourselves, to be honest. Scripture does say, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, says, are there not 12 hours in a day when a man must walk? The night comes when no man can walk. So, relatively speaking, we find ourselves in some kind of daylight. Even in Scripture, it speaks of the coming of a winter. It says, for them shall be great tribulation. There's physical expressions of that. But even if you think of it in the horde of darkness that is coming, there are dimensions that will come with intimidation. There are dimensions that will be in the mind. It says darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. It says iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But this bombardment would always begin in the mind. If you lose the battle of the mind, you will fall. But then all these things we pick as we go about fellowship, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, Bible study, devotion, listening to messages, interacting, saying hello, we should have a habit of, you may not necessarily feel overly spiritual all the time, but pay attention to take nuggets and understand it and save it. Take it and save it, because at some junctions of weakness or even strength, you may find yourself needing to use it, and it will be your lifeline. Like in our group, we just read one passage. It says, the zeal of the Lord shall accomplish. Very simple sentence. But then that in itself can be another capsule you just take and say, oh, the Lord is zeal. There may be a condition you may be in, and the Lord will just amplify that word that I am zealous towards you. And that may be what you require to pop back up. So I've said many things. But that was what the Lord put in my heart. It says, so I've been used to it in the context of sacrifice. There is another dimension where it says, and in him was light. And the light was the life. No. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shineth, and the darkness comprehended. So I'm also okay. See, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So I also plead the blood and invoke the life of Christ in the blood. And ask that all elements, they like to just shine. So if I see anything that resembles darkness, I just call for the blood in the context of light. But then, when this one now passed through my mind, it's as though I learned another dimension of applying the blood. And it says, death is swallowed up by life. And so I now started to understand it, and it says, okay, if the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've been provided with the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus is to constitute a key element for anybody that would be described, anybody that will make up that category of the overcomers, you must overcome by the blood. If you are to do so, then you must have a good handle of multiple ways you can apply the blood, all by faith. Once you have that, then you can now learn another dimension where it says, death is swallowed up by life. You now take and arrange. It reminds me of that parable of the unjust servant. It was a bit confusing to me initially. You wonder what is the moral lesson in this stuff. But Simple. He says, take your bill, write it. After you finish writing it, cross it. You add 100, I'll be 80. You add 50, 30. You just write, and then better, that's your measure of faith. But there are some, in this dispensation, you take it, cross it, clean. But then that's another discussion. But you now see all elements of death. What is death? In my, you see, the wages of sin is death. So anything that answers to sin, anything that answers, the reason we shouldn't be shy, or because the enemy is very, you know, sometimes I find myself learning of the different dimensions of the enemy based on experience. It's different tactics. There are different ways he can try to deal with you. There are existing procedures, and there are other angles he can. There are other angles he can come to. See, he can look at you and hype you up a bit, but say, no, you know, you are very spiritual. You can't afford to be. This cannot be going on in your neighborhood. So even he can hype you to a point that there are some provisions that you don't. You feel. How do I put it? You feel I should have gone past that. You know, have you ever felt so spiritual that you felt like, you know, I may have overtaken the blood just a little bit? I should be looking at what's that word? Let us go on to perfection, you know? I mean, like, this is where I should be at this time. But you are doing yourself badly, because in the kind of things that the enemy will pump at every single human being, like we were discussing, it would send something your way and you check, is this guy going to fall or not? If you're going to fall, they will let you keep going. You fall, it will come again and say, to encourage you to continue. It will look whether you will continue. If you continue, it will give you peace to continue. If you don't want to continue, it will throw guilt in. But there's even a scenario where you did not do anything. You just suggested it. And he saw that this person is not going to fall. He will start condemning you on the suggestion. But you have not done anything yet. He suggested, he saw he's not going to do it. He started to condemn you. And it's very simple. How can I be thinking this kind of thoughts? I should have passed it. What kind of imaginations are these? Why is this going on in my mind? And I've heard many of us, if not all of us, say very similar sentences. And the enemy will come and be shooting you on something you did not do. But the point is, there are different ways the activities of the enemy can play that. If you feel too big, as subtle and, I shouldn't say stupid or foolish, but as sincerely weird as it is, I hope nobody's in that situation anyways, but you must at all times be able to engage the full provision of the blood. So anything that answers to death, anything that answers to death of any sort, there are principles you can invoke and say, Lord, it is written that death is swallowed up by life. Amen. So is it a thought? Is it imagine? Is it a health? Is it any condition that you can tally, lighten, synonym, arrange towards death in any shape, form, or manner? You apply the blood. Many times we have been saying, I know I was at that stage, I said, the blood. I didn't quite understand what dimension to which I was speaking in. But now I've talked about the blood. But the burden that was in my heart was more in the context of resurrection, perpetual resurrection. Let me share something more engineering related, hopefully. I'm not sure how many people will be able to relate with it. But I'm sure there are physical examples. Okay, we all drive cars. It's just that hopefully car is not a good. Well, I'll give an example. My point is, imagine you are driving a car and you are trying to maintain a particular speed limit. If you remove your leg from gas, it will decelerate gradually. But then, although the gauge just stays at a particular point, if you are to go deep down, like to a more microscopic view of the change, it's never a straight line. It's like But on, when you step back, it's actually straight. So what's going on there? The speed of your reaction, in engineering we call it control system, where you see that something is shifting, you compensate for it very quickly. So the best of control systems are able to compensate. That's why when you put your car on cruise control, cruise, and you set it to maintain the speed, what it's actually doing is it's playing with the engine throttle, it's just pausing it. If you watch it, it's about to drop, it would increase speed. It does it in a very smooth transition, but instantaneously, multiple times. Per second tracking it, likewise for your spiritual life. The provision whereby you're able to return is the concept of resurrection. And you must be on guard to apply this principle per second. Every single, the reason why you can start out and maintain holiness and maintain staying in the zone is not so much by you, by your own strength. You must be able to apply certain principles to maintain constancy. The provision for constancy is in itself provided in resurrection. Resurrection is not just when you are overly dead. Even when it looks as though, like the new one I begin to think, is that the shadows, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of, am I yet dead? But it is the shadows of death. It says, flee all appearances of evil. Sometimes you have not necessarily flee, but the appearances of it are in your mind. For many of us, it's not so much a thing of doing or action, but they are just shadows. But in all elements, but the enemy also, he says, despite all this provision, what would hinder me from actually acting again is the enemy. That's why it's called the accuser. So he throws it naturally. You should invoke the principle of resurrection and bounce back and correct that error. But there is a lag. Imagine in your circuitry, your wires are supposed to connect your system. A signal is supposed to go to the engine to say rev up because the speed is going down. But there is a lag, there's a delay, there's something that stalls that signal. That is the enemy's job. He throws something, he is working minute for minute to stop you from applying the very provisions that are already available in Christ. So when Isaiah 54 is very, as I said, very curious, the way the meeting has gone. The passage I just opened in my Bible before coming out was Isaiah 54. And so when it says, this is the righteousness, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. There are some sentences that if we actually take it and internalize it, it says, as in Adam all died, so shall all be made alive. There is that one. It says, for since by one man came death into the world, by one man also came life. Now, we find ourselves all in the similitude of death, or we found, I should say, all humanity because of the errors of Adam. Now, why is it the Lord Jesus was speaking to those three men going to Emmaus? Why is your heart hardened? Why is it so hard for you to believe? Why is your heart hardened through unbelief? So if sin came into the world by one man, why can't we, in the simplicity of our minds, accept the fact that righteousness comes and has come and is available to us all by one man's righteousness, our Lord Jesus Christ? He says, this is their heritage. Do we have an issue? I know. He says, this is the righteousness, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. So in maintaining constancy in this righteousness is the need for speedy and very quick application or invoking of the principle of resurrection. We need to be very quick. We need to be very, praise the Lord, you guys are distracting me, I'm sorry. Should I pause for you? To maintain constancy in righteousness, we need perpetual and speedy and frequent application of the principle of resurrection. So while I was just coming today, I thought, okay, what should we call it? Death is swallowed up by life, if you wish. I was thinking, okay. Then I come here and then I hear Elisha on why should we find the dead among the living, which I find very curious. Again, what's the time? Okay, yeah, just been 10 plus minutes. Simple principles, and okay, maybe even I should just read some thoughts I put down. Okay, this is what I wrote. It says, seeing therefore the truth of the provision of life, even the resurrection life, it is wrong. This is just digesting what he said. It is wrong to expect to find one who ought to be enjoying this life among the dead. He says, such an error was made, and they were thus questioned in Luke 24:25. He says, but thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew this power of God, as spoken of in Ephesians 1, I didn't even know we'll still go there, Ephesians 1, 17 to 19, and stood by it, and in it by faith, and as such, though he was dead, yet he lived. So, our Lord then, he says, now as we have seen our forerunner do, we should have the eyes of our understanding enlightened to know amongst all things the exceeding greatness of his power. This is in that Ephesians 1, one thing you said, I have to rejoice in, you know, the hope of his calling. That was my thing. And then now move to the riches of the glorious of his inheritance. Then I started to really appreciate the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. And how was that power manifested? So it gives you a clue to the applications you should use. It says it raised him from the depths of Hades to the heights of his throne. So another passage is speaking that he ascended far above all heavens. So if the eyes of our understanding are enlightened to appreciate that such power is available, like an infinite bank account of resurrection life, then you really have no basis to say I was not feeling it, or I'm down, or I'm not in the zone, I feel so down. The next question is, why didn't you resurrect? It's quite simple. If you, because I, so the whole rising and falling thing, we have issues when we look at ourselves, and that's the enemy's job. Accusation is to point you to you. So when Zechariah, the enemy, the guy is obviously putting on a bad garment, and the enemy is saying, oh, you know, look here. Michael was upset. He rebuked him. And what he says, the Lord, even the Lord rebuked, you, Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen. You see that in all his speech, he did not make reference to Joshua. He just spoke about the choice of the Lord. This other guy is pointing to the garments of Joshua. But we have no reason to feel that, okay, man, sometimes it even happens that you don't feel like praying because maybe the day, I was not really very holy during the course of the day or something. You have no reason to indulge in that. This is the new one I'm learning to do, which is, it doesn't matter the past few seconds, minutes, hour. It doesn't matter how that spawned. Lord, I receive grace to pray. You just invoke righteousness upon yourself. He says, I therefore, there's a way we feel confident to walk in righteousness because of, you know, when you are doing this new version Bible, we say, oh, you are in a 3-day streak. You say, because of our streak, you know, we have been, for the past couple of hours, you know, I've been with the Lord. So you have more confidence to take the next step. And as much as it is good you took the step, but he ought to look upon the labor of his soul and be satisfied that the basis for your taking this next step is me. That's why even if you think of it in the context of the tabernacles, which became, you know, after I led the whole thing, now my favorite thing is just the altar of incense. And why? He says, when you're coming, put the blood on the horns of the altar. So that means the basis, the strength, the confidence, the reason you feel able to come, to offer, to say, to approach, must always be the blood. If then you don't have confidence to approach God, it means either you lack understanding or you lack faith. And that's why in one place he said to the Pharisees, you err. And there's a point to which your lack of understanding becomes an offense. Especially considering the price of the sacrifice. If it's a huge, huge price, then your ignorance at some point becomes a basis for judgment. It becomes offensive. He said, you err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So, not too many big English, but having heard these things, none of us ought to find ourselves in a point where I don't feel like coming God. If you feel like that, ask yourself, why am I not resurrected? Why do I want to waste? It's two things. Is it that I don't know or I don't believe? He said, the hour is come when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man and live. He says, and he that liveth and believeth shall never die. In another place, he'll come back and say, believest thou this? If we understand these principles, we shall never die. It will be like, this is a principle to maintaining constancy. Constancy with God by perpetual, frequent, consistent resurrection. It is okay to keep resurrecting because it's available. You just keep resurrecting. You just keep resurrecting. If you apply resurrection when you are at level 0, you will come to 10. If you apply it at level minus 10, you can come to 0. If you apply it at level 10, you can go to 20. If you apply it at 50, you go to 100, but you keep applying it. You keep applying it. You just keep applying it. So, I just feel like there's a serious meat in that very, very powerful passage. Elijah. It is the error, I read again, the error of this expectation. It's actually an error. Why do you seek the living among the dead? It's an insult. Wait, first of all, because when he died and they did not expect him to resurrect, which, and as much as I say, oh, they don't believe, it means that all that he has been talking to says, it was just like, this man is just giving us bread. He's just saying his own. And we'll just enjoy the hype. After he has gone, you know, we know, now I'm going to go and fish. But why do you expect that despite the power available, despite the things he spoke of, despite everything, I actually am hoping to find him dead as opposed to living? Why? But we do that. So he showed an example. He said, okay, you may not believe. He says sometimes, he says, even if we don't believe, say he abided faithful. He cannot deny himself. And he showed it in himself. He said, I believe. That's where the Psalm 16, he advised himself. He says, wow. That's fine. I was trying to remember this yesterday also. Oh, yes. I bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. So, whereas any other person may not believe in, say, I set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, my flesh shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Which is what he shared. So, whereas other people, you know, they expected to find him dead, he took the counsel of the Lord. He says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. He believed, he appropriated it, and he resurrected out from the dead. As an example, so Hebrews 6, we say that we have a forerunner that has for us gone into that which is beyond the veil. So likewise, you ought not to go with the come, because there's the world, then there is among Christians the you know, this general paradigm of, you know, that's how the hustle, we try, but you know, and there are many things we can say as Christians, but That's why each man is to work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. So you believe for you take the word of God, and you believe the counsel that he has given you. You let your reins instruct you. You set him before you. As for me, me I will resurrect. And you keep believing it. You keep applying it. You first have to break that mindset. When you do not, after everything he has done, it is wrong to expect that you who ought to be enjoying life are dead. It is wrong to be okay with being dead. It is wrong to think, well, you know, there are times when you are not necessarily feeling it. That's wrong. It is wrong to think that sometimes I just want to be, you know, I just want to take some time away. Not to wait upon the Lord. It's just like, everything is just being stressful, you know. It is wrong to, you know, and we are used to it, you know, even physically speaking, you say, you know, life expectancy, okay, by the time I'm 80, may I have lived a good life, and you know, I mean, it's not a bad age to die. That's physically speaking. Spiritually, it's, yeah, you know, there are times when I just feel down. You know, it happens, you know, everybody feels down. There are times, every element of death, even in our spiritual walk, we ought to undo it, because it is wrong to expect that it would have been wrong for the Lord Jesus to expect, because he knows the counsel he received. The Father has spoken. He believed it. And it would be wrong to think that despite everything his dad has said, just because of what has happened, say, maybe I'll be here. That's wrong. So irrespective of the efforts of the enemy, irrespective of anything, it is wrong for you to think that at some point you can be dead. If then it seems as though you are in death, it's just but a shadow. You have to remind yourself, say, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You have to walk yourself back to life. You have to invoke the full power of resurrection and apply it. Speak life to yourself. And even sometimes, and again, it's instantaneous, it's constant, because the enemy's things, arrows. In fact, you may just step out that door, one thing just in this. It takes one thought, one arrow, something just pass, and it can just, for some people, it may take you 2 hours to recover from that, because, oh, child. And then you just feel sour, you just feel, another, you may not, maybe there's a sharing you should have done, maybe there's somebody you should have encouraged, you just feel like, man, I still need to work on. The enemy has succeeded in thwarting the course of your actions just with one arrow. But if you are quick, it just comes, say, no, I swallow up this death by the life. I invoke the life in Jesus to swallow. And you say it and believe that it is swallowed. And you move on as though that arrow never came. You have just exalted the work of God. It says, whose report will you believe? If you believe the enemy's arrow, then you would walk in death. If you believe the life of Jesus Christ, you would walk in life. But it is wrong to expect to find the living among the dead. Or it is wrong to expect those who ought to be living dead. That was one thought. Then just through the course of the day, because it seems like the whole concept of resurrection, again, not consciously, I've just been playing. So we're just in our Bible study there, completely out of, like, it is not what we're talking about. It just, a thought just, you know, something about weakness just passed through my mind. I was like, man, I feel weak. I was just, there's a way it just passed through my mind, and one line just passed. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in strength. So it does take. So there are certain provisions. So are you dead? Resurrect. Are you weak? The principle of resurrection says, though you are sown in that condition, though prior to the provisions of Christ you have been weak, and eliminating the provisions of Christ you could have continued to be called weak, but invoking what he has said, you have no reason to be weak. It's very simple, this whole message. At any instance you find yourself, I'm not right with God, I'm not proper, I don't feel like praying, I'm not in the mood to do even ministerial things, I've done wrong. Anything that looks like I'm not feeling it, I'm not in the zone. I'm not. You know, there's a way you feel when you have just come out of a 40-day fast, or you have been speaking in tongues for 36 hours, or that kind of stuff. You're just returning from the mountain where you feel your mind is fruitful with the works that you have just done, and it assists you to keep taking those. There's a way you feel. At any time, in quote, you don't necessarily feel like that. Be quick. The whole thing on here is be on guard, be quick, be speedy to invoke the principles of resurrection and life. Every element of death, there's life available to swallow it up. And we have already prayed the prayer, which will be something we should continue to pray, because it is to the, it says the just shall live by his faith. So it is possible for us to be gathered here, but some other persons are striving, not because, you know, they've done. I find myself biased to this new method now. Before I even begin to think of what can I do, I first want to maximize the benefit of everything he has done. Before I now begin to think, okay, so when it, because sometimes we're very good at that. He said, no, but you should be able, you have to, before I start, I'll first pause. I say, okay, what has he done that can I begin to invoke? I apply all those principles first. Then I can now see the next one, okay, here is where I come in. But before I come in, let me squeeze the juice out of every single thing he has made available and move. May the Lord help us. In Jesus' name. But yes, the just shall live by his faith. It is to the measure that your mind is open. That's why the prayer goes, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we may know all these things, particularly also the exceeding greatness of his power. And exceeding great, it is power, but exceeding. Imagine you want to start a business, and now they call them VCs, venture capitalists. A Jeff Bezos, the richest dude. $100 billion is available for your enterprise. Will you shake? It does not matter. Even if you just want to buy an entire, for those that want to do clearing and forwarding, just want to buy an entire container, just for practice. It's not even the actual business. Just for, just want to see. You want to buy. You don't know how the store will look like. You just go and buy one huge warehouse and ask people to design it. You are not sure. You are not ready to start. You just want to see how it will look like. Another person, they could have drawn it on paper for him. Another person that used this card art thing to find out. You, because of the kind of money you have, you can do that and say, ah, it makes sense. I'm not sure, but let me keep this one here. Let me go and buy another one and design it that way. You can do some very funny stuff because you actually know I have $100 billion. It's not to spend it. Let us, you have nothing to spare because we have to come out with the best results. Likewise, when you appreciate the kind of life available, the kind of power, the greatness thereof, then you can actually apply it. And the reasons you won't apply it is either you don't know, or you don't believe it, or you don't trust it. Simple ones, the way you can move and think this is meant for people who are just becoming born again. He says, blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven.
Hallelujah.
Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Now, how many of us here have, even if it's just a thought, okay, this sounds very awkward. I'm sure everybody here, so I don't need to ask. But my point is, at those junctions, because I've heard all of us say it, oh, you know, a thought, oh, I know I did, or oh, I did this. How many of us actually say to the enemy, oh, but you know, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. You want to talk again, say, actually, no. Blessed is the one whose iniquities are covered. How many of you actually confidently, I'm sure there are sometimes when you don't feel right to say that statement. No, it couldn't possibly. David, after going and coming, he came to the point where he says, iniquities prevail over me. It's an element of resurrection he actually applied. He says, as for my transgression though, you have blotted it out. You will now come and say, how can I actually, despite myself, make this strike? He says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and cause to approach. And I said, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your heart. And if such a man is called a man after my heart, I was speaking with someone, and there is a way, a man after my heart, I've always understood it in the context of a man who is pursuing my heart. But I used to think that, wait, a man after my heart. It's the way it came across to my mind as a man whom my heart is after. A man that, you know, it touches my inside, it tickles my inner man. There's a way he acts and does and expects and believes and has some kind of confidence in me that just, even if he has vexed me, he's just like, but man, this guy though. There's a way he acts that draws my heart to him. He seems to know me in a way not many people know me. But scripture says, those that know their God shall be strong and do exploit. Before we think of it in the context, you know, there's a way you think, oh, I'm strong. And yes, oh my God, I'm strong. Before you think like that, appreciate that these people that will be strong and do exploit, they would be conversant with their weaknesses. They're conversant with a couple of elements, but then it is the knowledge. It says this is eternal life, that they may know thee. The ability to resurrect and invoke that principle is based on what they know of him. So you, because the people who would be actually impregnable to the attempts of the enemy, they are not vulnerable to his effort, and people whose standing is, it says, wherein we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. There are people who are standing on the rock. If you are not standing, you know, there's a way you can actually be righteous for standing on your efforts, standing on your winning streak, standing. Immediately the enemy just busts. That's why, you know, some people who have been getting A, if one day they get C, they may never recover from that. Because they just go into, like, what do you call that thing? Depression. Like, how could I admit it? Some people don't know how to. That's why even some businesses and some top guys, before they hire anybody or give you money, they don't want to know that your record has been. They look for those who have failed. Have you failed before? No. They are very weary of you. But they want to know that. It's very fact. They want to know that you have failed and you have recovered. Then you have an element. That journey from up down to up, you have it. So those who will not fall, those who will be victorious, are those who they understand how to travel from weakness to strength by the provision to make that journey from Hades to heaven by the provisions of Christ. Once you understand it and you understand the provisions in his word to make that trip, there's no reason for you to sink, because before you just invoke it, before you do, and then you come to an estate where even when you are fine, you just keep invoking it like a rocket and you just keep ascending. But may the Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
May the Lord help us to have the, just look at his word. The other day I was just reading. You know, sometimes you want to be able to say, okay, I opened my Bible and I read this chapter. But sometimes not always that, because you are moving verse 1, verse 2, there are 20-something chapters in this. I mean, verse 20-something verses in this chapter. You know, 1, 2, 3. 3 is calling your attention. No, like 4, 5, 6 is like distraction. You go back. 1, 2, 3. I have to go. 4, 5. I have to get to 20-something. What's all this? I want to read this stuff. But 3 is calling your attention. You just turn and realize, okay, maybe 3 is where I'm supposed to tabernacle. And one of those 3 was Isaiah 51, verse 3 is like, the Lord shall comfort her waste places. He says, the Lord shall make her wilderness as Eden. He says, he shall make her desert places as the garden of the Lord. So there may be somebody who has a wilderness condition. The Lord is saying to you that he will make it as Eden. There may be a person who has a desert condition. The Lord will make it as the garden of the Lord. As to all waste places, he said he will comfort it by transforming it to fruitfulness. It's to the measure we believe it and receive it that we will experience it. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Go! Hallelujah.